Coming up next in this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
It was really, here, birdie, just quiet.
Yeah.
Well, the bird immediately flew and landed on the railing right next to my face.
My mom, Kathy Prince, reunites a lost bird with its family. Zach Bigelow meets an old friend he hasn't seen since, well, ever.
I gave Frank the worst backstory a human could have.
And my mom, Kathy, returns to help reunite a drowning dog with its family.
The boat suddenly took off. It just leapt out of the water at full speed, causing the couple dancing in the back of the boat to slam down into their seats and the little white dog on the back of the boat to fall in the water.
Those stories coming up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Reunited episode. I'm Rob Prince. It's November in Michigan, which means all those Michigan kids who moved off to Chicago, Seattle, Washington, D.C., and elsewhere will be coming back home for Thanksgiving with family in Michigan. Getting reunited with your old tribe can be a wonderful, awkward, stressful, and/or miraculous experience. Today on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, we have stories about being reunited that certainly come with mixed results. Our first story comes from my mother, Kathy Prince, who shared this story with me from her home in East Lansing in the spring of 2024. Here's my mom, Kathy.
When you watch sunsets at the cottage, all sorts of things happen.
So what year is this?
This was 2022.
What time of year was it?
Summer. It was later in the summer, like July or something like that.
Okay. And you're, once again, sitting on the porch watching the
you
lake.
You watch the sunsets when you're at a lake quite often, which you just sit out and watch the sunset. So that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was really just a pretty early evening. I could see a white bird kind of fly in from across the lake, and it landed on the upstairs railing of the cottage two lots south of me. And it just caught my eye, and I thought, it's not a seagull. It just almost looks like a dove, a little white dove. And I saw it hopping around there, and I watched it, and it just kind of hopped up and down that railing for at least 10 minutes, like it was looking for food or something, kind of pecking, and it seemed, just wasn't acting like a normal bird. So I'm sitting on our front porch, which has a railing right next to me, and I just think, okay, I'm going to, so I say very quietly, in almost quieter than a spoken word, I say, "Here, birdie." "Here, birdie."
You're calling what you kind of think is just a wild bird, but you're not sure?
I'm not sure. And I probably got good hearing.
Did you look around to see if anyone was around before?
I did.
You...
And there wasn't anybody sitting out there, just quiet.
Yeah.
Well, the bird immediately flew and landed on the railing right next to my face.
Wow.
I thought, well,
that worked.
And I could
see a little
see,
Snow White action going on.
Yeah, I could see that it had bands on both its legs.
Okay,
both legs were banded. It kind of hopped along the railing there and kind of did that little more of that pecking thing. And I thought I could see a 616 on the band, and that kind of made me elated because that's the area code for Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and got it some water, and I thought maybe some food, and I could think of walnuts. Well, let me tell you, it didn't care for the walnuts at all. It loved the bowl of water and hopped in the water and drank and was right in the water bowl.
Wow.
So I had put that water bowl down right at the top of the steps, you know, down to the lake. And so I walked over on the, sat down on the steps. So my head was like right there by the bird, and I could see the number and managed to get the number in my phone. I had picked up my phone when I got the water, and I called the number and connected me with a very nice man named Hans, who lives in a town which is about 50 miles from the cottage.
Wow.
And I explained to him why I was calling. He said, "Oh yes, that's one of my birds."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "If you can put it in a box, I'll come and pick it up tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, let me see what I can do." So meantime, the front door was open, of course, into the cottage, and there were both my cats watching right outside, like, "Ooh, Mom, that's cool. Can we come out and play with that bird?" And but I thought, well, do I have a box? What have I got? I was thinking what I might have to put the bird in. So, but just then the bird hopped off the step and hopped right onto my shoulder.
Wow.
And it tucked itself sort of behind my ear and just nestled right in there behind my ear, behind my head, on my shoulder.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
And I thought, well, I am not going in the cottage with a bird. I've never had a bird. I don't feel comfortable with handling birds and all that. What in the world am I going to do? There's nobody around. So I thought, Bob and Stacy. So I get up, walk around the side of the cottage over toward Bob and Stacy. The whole time I'm going, help, 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 help. I'm hoping there's somebody around with good hearing like the bird and that can help me.
Uh-huh.
So they must see me coming, like, I don't know if I look like Long John Silver or Quasimodo, because I'm just sort of hunched over with this bird on my shoulder behind my ear.
And you're going, help, help, help.
I'm going, help, help. And they are such dear people.
Yes, they are.
They are dear people. Basically, I relayed to them that I needed a box for the dove and that it might be hungry. And immediately Bob sprang into action, went into the garage and got a wonderful, clean, small little cat carrier.
Aww.
Stacy went and got bird food
Aww.
From the feeder. And so Bob helped me get the dove off my shoulder into the box, and Stacy gave me the food, and so got the bird home, got him in the extra bedroom with the door shut so the kitties couldn't get at it, had food and water in there, and it was all happy hopping on the water bowl again, making little cooey sounds. And so I called Hans back and I said, the bird is safe. We're ready. It'll be fine overnight. We can pick it up tomorrow. And he said, wonderful. He was going to have a friend of his who lives not far from the cottage, who also has some of his birds, come and pick up the bird tomorrow. Or, he said, if it would make me feel better, they'd even drive out tonight. I said, no, the bird was fine. So then after that, I went and sat on the couch and stared into space.
You know, just when these take some time to process.
I had to come down from that episode of goofiness or whatever.
Right.
So my phone rings again, and it's Hans. And he said, you rescued a really special bird, my most special bird. He said, do you have time to, you know, hear about it? And I said, oh, I do.
I need something to talk to.
I need to debrief. Uh-huh. So anyway, so Hans said I had found a really, really special bird, probably his most special bird. And early in the spring, before the bird should have babies, way, way early, he and his wife went out to the aviary to do some maintenance and whatnot, and discovered a tiny little baby bird that had hatched and had frozen.
Oh.
And he was sure the bird was dead.
But because they weren't supposed to be having babies, right?
No, they don't mate until later on.
Mm-hmm.
But this had happened, and his wife thought she saw a little glimmer of movement in the baby bird's eye, and it was very tiny, and so she clasped it in her hands and held it to her chest. They brought it inside, and after about an hour of being held by his wife, the bird perked up and thawed out.
Wow.
And it seemed fine. So they realized that they were going to have to hand raise the bird inside. So they prepared to do that, and they named the bird Popsicle. Well, this was the spring where all the COVID restrictions were lifting. They had some family out of the country and had an opportunity to fly and visit family. It had been a while. And so his nephew, who also has some of his doves, said that he would take a Popsicle. But the nephew's little daughter thought the bird's name should be Frozen. So
from the Disney movie, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So they compromised and named the bird Frozen Popsicle.
And, which is slightly redundant, but okay.
I know. That's the language he used. That was the compromise. And so his nephew took the bird in, was hand-raising it some more inside. But late in the spring, they began to realize the bird thought it was a person and not a bird. So they decided it was time to introduce it to the aviary. Mm-hmm. And so they had put it out fairly recently into the aviary. But that Friday night, this happened on a Sunday night, that Friday night their raccoon had gotten into the aviary, and they, all the birds were accounted for except one was missing, and that was Frozen Popsicle.
Wow.
So they had been waiting in hope that Frozen Popsicle, who had not yet really gone through the training, mm-hmm. would maybe find its way home. But...
Or maybe... It's where they thought maybe the raccoon got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they had no idea what had
happened.
They
didn't know
to
what
bird.
Happened to Frozen Popsicle, mm-hmm. but it was gone. Mm-hmm. And so that was the bird mm-hmm. that I found. That Saturday, that Friday night, Saturday, along with the raccoon, we had had terrible wind thunderstorms move through. So that was another thing that,
okay.
that worried about that.
So the raccoon had broken in. There was a huge storm.
The weather
storm.
Was terrible. The yeah. wind. So mm-hmm. they were pretty sad about Frozen mm-hmm. Popsicle.
Even if it had escaped, it was going to be hopelessly lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the bird that I found. So the next day, this friend of Hans comes to pick up the bird, Frozen Popsicle. And who had had a fine night at the cottage. I could hear it. I don't really know doves, but it would make little happy cooing sounds during the night. And the kitties, of course, I could hear them kind of bump against the door once in a while. Like, please, can we visit?
Just
but
a
no.
quick peek.
Anyway, so the next morning his friend came. He carefully took Frozen Popsicle from the cat carrier and put it into a very nice cage. And then, as a thank you to me, he had another beautiful cage with like five or six doves in it, which he did a release for me.
Wow.
So we went to the edge of the water mm-hmm. and he let the doves out and they spiraled up into the air and then flew away heading toward home. And he said, you know, they'll probably get home before I will. Although we talked so much that I thought, yeah, probably they will. Anyway, but Frozen Popsicle had a ride home in a cage in the back of his car.
Frozen Popsicle was relegated to ground transportation.
Yes.
Yeah.
End of story.
Thank you, Mom.
Kathy Prince. She shared that story with me in the spring of 2024 from her home in East Lansing. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Reunited episode. I'm Rob Prince. Our next story comes from down in Jonesville, just northwest of Hillsdale. Zach Bigelow has been an invaluable supporter of this show from the very beginning. He has hosted not one, but two open mic storytelling events at his business Ramshackle Brewery down in Jonesville. He shared this hilarious story of getting reunited at the Jackson Mall with a long-lost best friend that he had never actually met at our August 2025 open mic down in Jonesville. Here's Zach.
So Jesse and I are dating. Pretty new to dating. We're walking through the Jackson Mall holding hands. And you know,
what year is this?
2007, 2008?
So the mall's pretty quiet.
but it's not
it's
now.
Not 1983, but right okay.
So this guy and his wife, you know, me and the guy lock eyes, probably like four store lengths down, you know, we're walking through. His face lights up like he's seen Santa Claus. He comes walking up, Frank, how you doing? And for me, I've always been that, you know, kind of quick on the feet. And I'm like, man, I'm not doing so good, dude. I'm not doing so good. Things are looking better, but I'm not doing so good. And
you instantly knew, like you had no warning and you instantly knew you were gonna play along.
Oh yeah, I'm playing along. I'm Frank for him, right? And he looks at Jesse and he kind of looks at me and looks at, and he's like, how are things going? I'm like, oh man, not all right now. You know, been better. How are you? And we're chatting, doing the Michigan small talk for a little bit. And he's like, so what happened? I'm like, and he's like, he said something about your wife. You know, who's this? I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is my girlfriend, Jessie. Long story short, she left me. I met Jesse in rehab. We're 3 months sober.
Are you serious? Came up with all of this.
I gave Frank the worst backstory a human could have.
Wait, what is she doing?
She bit her lip so hard that I think she drew blood and turned away. And she goes, honey, I'm going to be over here at Deb's. I'm going to go in the store here. I'll catch up with you guys later. Because she's dying. She's trying to hold it together. And I'm telling this guy's Frank's worst, greatest hits of all time. Frank just got out of rehab. The wife took his kids. I'm 3 months sober, but you know, hey, me and her, we're renting this apartment, but we're getting evicted a little bit. I know you guys still have that house, right? And he's like, yeah. And his wife's kind of like, I see her squeezing his hand a little bit harder. I'm like, do you still got that couch, like the finished basement? I kind of did a cold read on him. He's like, yeah, man, but it's a little, there's a lot of storage. And he's like, I'm like, dude, if you had that couch still, I'd love to crash there for like 2 months tops before I get on my feet, you know? And I could see, you know, Christmas face first, Santa Claus is real, to, oh my God, my friend Frank is like, fell so hard. I feel so bad for Frank. And, you know, I kept it going for about 5-10 minutes straight, just giving him the roughest story I could. And then I say, you know, I'm going to tell you one thing, though, and I appreciate it. And I forgot your wife's name, you know, and I totally was like, I'm so sorry. I forgot your name. But when you do see Frank, you got to tell him this story. And I pulled my license out because my name is not Frank. And I just walked off. The look on his face was worth it. Because all of a sudden, Frank wasn't at rock bottom anymore.
More, even more, he wasn't about to move in.
Yeah. And his wife was just elated that she wasn't going to have a junkie in the basement. So I met my doppelganger there, kind of.
Oh my gosh, that is a wonderful story.
Zach Bigelow. He shared that story at our August 2025 open mic storytelling event at the Ramshackle Brewing Company down in Jonesville. Thanks so much to Zach, Andrew, Stella, and all of the good folks down in Jonesville for their incredible hospitality. We look forward to coming down and hearing more of your stories again soon. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Reunited episode. I'm Rob Prince. If you'd like to see My Michigan Story live and in person, I'm happy to tell you we've got a bunch of live events scheduled for the near future. We'll be hosting a free open mic event in the Hastings Public Library on Tuesday, November 4 at 6 p.m. And we'll be back at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids on Friday, November 21st at 7 p.m. with our free Thanksgiving show. We're actually going to be hosting events in both of those venues on a monthly basis. So if those days don't work for you, you can subscribe to our e-newsletter and be the first to know about upcoming dates. Just head to mymichiganstory.com and click on newsletter. That's mimichiganstory.com. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the Reunited episode. I'm Rob Prince. Our final story in today's show is another great one from my mother, Kathy Prince. My mom has spent lots of time watching the lake, and it's resulted in lots of lake stories, like this next one. She told me this story about Campbell Lake in Alto, Michigan, in January of 2024. Here's Kathy.
So it's Memorial Day evening. It's a really cool evening. It was a beautiful day. The company's gone. The cottage is clean. So you're watching the sunset like you do. Very quiet on the lake. The only boat that I could just see a little bit was one coming up from the south. Looked like it had maybe 5-6 people on it. I could see a couple of dogs, including a little white dog sitting on the back of it. There was quiet music and a cheerful conversation, like a booze cruise, like a sunset booze cruise, which is a real big thing around the lake.
Right. What kind of boat was it? Like a speedboat?
Yeah, speedboat. Oh, okay. Inboard. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice boat. All right. It had that nice sound.
Mm-hmm. when did things start to get different?
Well, the
different?
Boat came up, and I saw it coming. Then I didn't really pay any attention to it. It just watching the sunset was so pretty. But when it got almost in front of our cottage, somebody on the boat turned the music up really loud, really loud. And wow, I turned and looked at it. I mean, everybody on the lake could hear it. And that was when I really noticed it. And so when that happened, a couple sitting in the back of the boat stood up and started to kind of do a little hoochie-coochie dance. And so I was watching the boat at that point.
Uh-huh.
Then, while the couple was up and dancing, the fella driving the boat must have gotten the bright idea to slam the throttle forward,
mm-hmm.
because the boat suddenly took off. It just leapt out of the water at full speed, causing the couple dancing in the back of the boat to slam down into their seats, and the little white dog on the back of the boat to fall in the water.
Was this like a puppy then, or what do you mean?
I don't know that it was a puppy, but it was mm-hmm. a very small little white fluffy dog.
Mm-hmm.
Very small. I think its head, which I then saw bobbing in the water, was maybe the size of a tennis ball.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so it had been just like standing on the back of the boat.
Sitting on the back.
Kind of cushiony part of the back of the boat.
It was sitting there mm-hmm. and having a nice ride, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, boom, it's in the water.
Boom, it's in the water. And when that happened, I don't know, I feel like I levitated to the end of my neighbor's dock, because suddenly I realized I was at the end of my neighbor's dock, which is quite a bit longer than mine, closer to where the dog was in the water. And the dog was a ways out. And I'm screaming and yelling, "Your dog, your dog."
Mm-hmm.
And pointing one arm at the dog and waving with the other one. It was just wavy enough, and we were losing our light a little bit, that I almost felt like if I took my eyes off the dog, I wouldn't be able to see it anymore. Because they were out in the water.
Yeah, you know? Like how far, though? Can you give us a sense of how far the dog was?
Gosh.
Like 100 yards?
Oh, yeah. Like, okay. Is that like a football field or something?
Yeah. So that's a good ways.
It was a ways out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And the boat was like out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just taking off.
And so... For them to try and find this dog when they realize it, they've got the whole lake to look through.
Right.
Which isn't the biggest lake in the world, but still, you're looking for a tennis ball.
And the light. You're losing your light because it's sunset.
Right.
I'm thinking, what can I do? Do I turn my back to the dog, go to my dock, get my paddle boat out, which would get me to the dog about next week, you know?
Right.
But then I realize that other people have seen it, because there's a dock a couple houses north of me,
mm-hmm.
and there are three women, and they're standing on the end of the dock screaming bloody murder.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of out of my sight range, but I can see them over there, but I kept my eyes on that dog,
mm-hmm.
and I kept pointing at it, because I just felt like I could lose it. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? But anyway.
Right. And these are like kind of middle-aged women,
right?
So you
have three women, middle-aged
mm-hmm.
friends,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And they have dogs, love dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're screaming and yelling. And
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, we have neighbors who have powerboats. Somebody is going to come out
mm-hmm.
and get their boat started and rescue that dog, because the boat it fell from was way, they were continuing on. They were,
all this is going on.
And they're continuing. They're way over on the other end of the lake now.
You can
see them because it's a small lake.
Right.
So, what in the world are we going to do, this tiny little dog? And then I realized that one of the women has jumped in the water and is swimming out
mm-hmm.
to get the dog. And I hadn't seen her do that because she was kind of out of my sight line.
Right.
So I think, oh.
But she's got to swim. I mean, 100 yards to swim.
She's
motivated.
Moving right along. And so while she's doing that, I'm still yelling, still pointing,
mm-hmm.
still waving one arm in
mm-hmm.
desperate hope that the boat will
mm-hmm.
see what's going on. She swims out to the dog, and I can see she rescues the dog,
wow.
is holding it, kind of swimming back with it sort of tucked under her chin.
Uh-huh.
I can see their head in the water with that little dog's head beneath her chin.
Right.
But they're coming back.
And what are the other women doing? Are they yelling?
We're all just yelling and waving our arms. We were just crazed by this poor little dog.
Right.
So she comes. It's quite a swim, but she's
mm-hmm.
coming back. And at that point, as she's getting nearing the dock, I can see that the boat, they realize that dock's gone. Because you can see it has slowed down and is, has turned around, and they're like driving back in their wake. So they're going following their wake back, retracing them.
They're looking following for, the breadcrumbs.
They're, right, they're trying to find the dock.
Okay.
So then, of course, we recommence waving both arms wildly. You know, in no time at all, they're coming back. So by the time the neighbor gets is nearing the dock, the boat is also pulling in.
Wow.
So here's the boat. Here's the gal in the water yet with the dog. And the guy in the boat says, well, I guess I've come to get my dog. And the gal stands up in the water because she's at the end of her dock. Apparently, when in her rush to swim and rescue the dog, she had taken her sweatshirt off. She was wearing jeans and no shirt, holding the dog in front of her.
Wow.
She said, no. And all the women on end of the dock said, no. They're just yelling, no, we are not giving you back your dog.
Oh,
you
don't,
you
gosh.
Are not a, a responsible dog owner. No. And the guy in the boat, you know, he stops a minute. He says, oh, just give me back my dog. And they said, no, no, you do not deserve to have a dog because you do not know how to properly care for it. And the poor fellow, he says, oh, he said, it's happened before. We,
it's happened before.
At that point,
that
the
really
women went ballistic. They said, I remember, all the more reason not to give you your dog back. And no, you're not. So this is getting so heated and noisy. And I'm just sort of standing there looking at, what in the world? One of the women did run down and get a towel for the poor lady with no shirt on. But then there's this quiet. And then the guy in the boat says, you know, you're right.
Wow.
I did not take proper care of my dog. We did not watch the dog properly. And the women, they just, yes, you were not. But the temperature is dropping 20 degrees. Mm-hmm. It's just, yes. And you then you can start to feel a little bit of the hurt and stress they were feeling. And he said, I'm really sorry. He said, we didn't take good care of that dog. We made a big mistake. And they said, yes. And they're both, you know, almost not tearful, but yeah, injured and the pain they suffered for this dog. And so they talked quietly amongst the, everybody suddenly was understanding, and I could see the little dog being handed back into the boat, and I had a sense, I couldn't really hear everything that was going on at that point then, because nobody's yelling anymore, but I had a sense, I could hear him say like, oh, you don't have to. I think maybe they got a little bit of the element of a booze cruise handed to them as a thank you gesture. And so it was just a whole new day on Campbell Lake, because peace again reigned. The three women went back down their dock into their cabin. The boat turned around and just began quietly motoring back. And when it came near my cottage, I thought, oh, this is when I'm going to hear the trash talk, because that's what happens on the lake. People don't realize how that sound carries. So I'm really watching the boat, thinking this is going to trash talk. But no, it's all quiet on the boat. And the boat keeps quietly motoring south. And right before it disappears from view, I see a little white dog jump up on the back of the boat. And I hear someone say, Snowflake, get off of the back of the boat. Snowflake, get down. Snowflake, come here.
Kathy Prince. She shared that story about Campbell Lake in January of 2024. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of My Michigan Story, the Reunited episode. Today's episode was produced and edited by myself, Rob Prince. My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, is presented by WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan. Remember, I can't make my Michigan story without your Michigan story. So email me your story today at story@mymichiganstory.com. Thanks.